Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we come to the end of our studies on the return of Christ. Christ is coming back to this earth. It's a thrilling subject. It's a subject that just raptures the Christian, and I'm using the word rapture in the sense that we ordinarily use it as being a transporting moment of joy. But Christ is coming back to rapture, snatch away, which is the literal meaning of it, snatching away the church into his own holy presence. And then, after 7 years of tribulation, 7 years of the 70th week of Daniel, that terrible time on the earth, when the Roman Empire shall be established again, and they will go into, indeed, a situation with the Jewish people, protecting them, and there will be the Jewish Messiah, and the earth will be made to worship these two, and it's going to be terrible. It's a terrible time. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. It's the time described by Daniel in chapter 12 of his writing, and we are expecting that soon, we believe. We cannot go into all the details of why we expect the coming of Christ soon. We have already covered that in our series on the prospect of Christ's return, so we will not repeat words. All right, now let's speak of the power of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to speak of the ministry of the Spirit in this regard, because the Spirit of God has much to do with the body of Christ. And, of course, the church is the spiritual body of Christ. As a matter of fact, the Spirit of God gave our Lord Jesus Christ his literal body. He's giving him his spiritual body, the church, and the Spirit of God is going to be the agency. He's going to be the power. He's going to be the means at the hands of the divine Trinity in giving us our glorified bodies as well. This is the ministry of the Spirit. Frequently at Christmas time, we read in Luke chapter 1, and I think I shall read there today, about the part of the Spirit in giving Christ his natural, literal body. The angel Gabriel appears to her, and we read in verse 28, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now also in connection with the annunciation of the angel, an angel appeared unto Joseph, the espoused husband of Mary. Now Joseph knew and heard that his wife was with child, and he was heartbroken. He thought he would have to indeed divorce her, separate himself from her. And while he was troubled about these things, we read in Matthew 1 and 20, But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And here again we read that Christ was given his natural body, that body that was his, that body in which the disciples saw him, that body which could get tired, which could bleed, that body of his that hung on the cross for your sins and for mine, that we might be able to go into heaven. and God punished him for your sins and for mine. Oh, the wonder of God's love. And certainly we are impressed with that wonderful love. But his body was given by the Holy Spirit. Now listen to these scriptures, please, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, in connection with the church. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. One translation has it, so also is the Christ. Because Christ is the head of this body. Christ is the head, the church is the body. And then it goes on, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And so we see that the Spirit of God gives Christ his body, the church. Also we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 29 and 30, a portion of scripture frequently read at weddings. No man hath ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. Christ, of course, the head. And the Spirit is the one that forms that body. It's the Spirit that brought before us your sins and my sins to bring us to Christ. It was the Spirit that made it plain to us that we had to be saved through Christ and Christ alone. How did he do it? By using the Word of God, reminding us from the Scriptures that Christ had to be crucified because of our sins if we were to go to heaven. And God gave him for that purpose. Now, the Spirit is going to give us our glorified bodies. In that wonderful 8th chapter of Romans, verse 11, the Apostle Paul writes, "But if the Spirit," and it's capitalized, "if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you," I think probably it could be better read, "since the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Now that's going to happen through the power of the Spirit of God. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 51, a portion of scripture that is often read at funerals. Here it is, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." It's going to happen in an instant of time, just in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye. The Spirit of God, according to Romans 8 and 11, is going to give us that glorified body. Think of the power that's involved. The subject of our talk today, or lesson today, on the return of Christ, is the power of Christ's return. And here it is manifested by the Spirit of God in giving millions of people a glorified body in a given moment of time. Think of that, if you will, the power of it. And he's going to give us that wonderful body that equips us to live in eternity forever and forever. And we see that power in action by the ministry of the Spirit. Now we're going to talk about the return of Christ to establish the millennial kingdom. God has had two great companies in this world, the church and Israel. And God is not through with Israel yet, because our Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and he's going to establish his kingdom, and Israel is going to reign. And they're going to be the head of the nations, not the tail. And that time is coming. And That distinguishes the two comings. Christ is coming in a twofold way. First, in a secret way, a mystery way, and the way of a mystery, to rapture away his church, and then he's coming with visible power and glory. We've already covered the subject. We'll not repeat words. He's coming in the power of his glory, and he's going to conquer his enemies, and he's going to establish his kingdom and reign for 1,000 years. This is all found in Revelation chapter 19. I think I couldn't do better than just simply read it from the scriptures. We read in the 11th verse of the 19th chapter of Revelation, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written, and no man but he himself knew that name. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And of course, we will be on those white horses. We will come with Christ to reign with him as his bride during that time. Now, we see the power of God manifest in this. Beginning at verse 17, we read, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come, gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, and ye shall eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of men, all men, both bond and free, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and his armies," the Roman power, the revived Roman empire, "gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet," that is the Jewish Messiah, the false Messiah, "that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. They both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning fire with brimstone." Now, we're not given the details, but we just know that this is going to take place. The power of God is going to be manifest, and he is going to establish Israel, and Israel is going to reign for 1,000 years. And then the last thing in connection with the power of Christ is the subduing of Satan at the end of that millennial reign and all his forces, and they too are cast into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. Oh, the power that is yet to come, which we are going to witness, and I think sooner, perhaps, than we think. Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for this grand subject, the return of Christ. Thrill our hearts with it, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.